Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangle.
You picked a tie? What are we, true, in Europe?
Soccer? Ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of shit was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flus over there.
I'm not
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah, wow.
Show,
maybe no, I'm the talent. Is that what we found out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shay McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. I am your host, Ryan Dangle. Folks, I am elated, so excited about this particular episode. We're going to have at least a near full house, the entire Bear Down Chicago podcast. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dangle. That's D-E-N-G-E-L. If you want to find the podcast on Twitter, you want to hit us at Bear Down Chi Pod. Now, I'm excited about this one. I don't think I'm doing this because I literally cannot think if he has ever been the first to join me on stage. Let's bring Cam Ellis to the stage. Cam Ellis, if you want to find Cam on Twitter, it's at Kingsley Ellis. Cam, how's life, buddy?
It's good. I can't complain. How are you doing?
You sound fantastic. I just want to put it out there.
We finally figured it out. Just in time. Preseason ended and we figured it out. We're ready to rock.
We're ready to do this. So just making sure everything out in the mountains treating you well, dude.
Everything's treating me great. I couldn't complain if I tried.
All right. I love it. Fantastic. Let's bring Patrick Sheldon onto the stage. If you want to find Sheldon on Twitter, it's at @P_Shells. Shells, buddy. Baseball, all the time. Baseball right now. Yes.
That's all it is, man. That's all it is. Yep. We're back in the fall season. So it's about 4 to 5 days a week. It's intense right now. But I got to say, like, I don't know how I feel about you calling me out on the stage. I feel like we're in some kind of like House of Ill repute, you know? Like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Cam Ellis.
Cam Ellis. So I'll say this at one time, and I think I've said this before. I used to be in a band. Some of you that are watching on YouTube, because you have your audio only listeners, but some of you that are watching on YouTube, you see all my drums back there and all that stuff. And one of my favorite things that we did in the band is every show, a different guy would come out and start the show, right? So like one time our bass player would just like, he was so good. He would just come out and play for a little bit. And then it was just like, he's going to welcome everybody else on the stage. And so I think I just can't let that part of my life go. Yeah. I'm trying to relive glory days. Something.
I'll try to keep all my clothes on tonight. Sorry.
I bet the crowd loved when the bass player came out and started the show with 10 minutes. I bet that was a real hit.
You are correct. Yes, absolutely. Let's bring onto the stage Captain Flus, also known as Jack Wright. If you want to find Jack on Twitter, it's at @BearDownJack. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good. I just listened to this great podcast. These two brilliant guys were breaking down the roster when the roster cuts were made last week. It was a Ryan Dangle and a Brendan Chagrou on the Bear Down Chicago podcast. It was a great episode. Good job.
So you're the guy that listened to it. Shush. That's awesome. That is it. Let's bring the assistant editor. I don't even know why he's part of the podcast. He's so famous. Like, I can't even look in his direction, and he's got a fresh cut. The assistant editor of Bears Wire, it's Brendan Shugrue. If you want to follow Brendan on Twitter, it's at Brendan Shugrue. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. Bruja7, already in the comment section, don't sleep on the bass players. I couldn't agree more. There's no way that he will listen to this. All of my friends that are musicians are like, you talk about the Bears like to strangers on the internet? I'm like, yeah, sometimes. So that's it, boys. Brendan, I didn't even ask you, how are you, buddy? How's life?
I'm doing good. I'm getting ready for a vacation coming up in the next week or so. Just when football's coming back, I leave, so that'll be fun. But, and shout out to the bass players. My brother's a bass player, so we had the upright in the house. He's got, you know, so many different basses. So I always like bass players. They're good people.
I mean, to be clear, I like them too. I just like them with other instruments also on the stage. So there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure. So we're going to be getting hate mail directed at Cam Ellis for all of our listeners who play bass or are dating a bass player, perhaps. I don't know. Folks, I think, at least last I checked, he is going to be here as well. That's right. He still works here. Logan Bradley will also be joining us at some point soon. He's out in LA, so he's on a totally different schedule. So we'll get to that. Boys, we got so much to talk about. We got Hard Knocks, and we've got predictions to chat about. Where are the Bears going to end up? I know that I've gone back and forth on a couple, and I'm betting that you are the same. Before we do that, there are absolutely positively some people that we have to thank. We're just so unbelievably grateful for these individuals. Now, folks, I mean, I don't know how else to say that. You need to be talking to Jeff Cadwallader. If you are in the Chicagoland area, if you are a real estate investor, if you are looking for commercial real estate, you're a business owner, do you need an expert? Give him a call. Give him a text. Jeff Cadwallader with SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate in Geneva. He's got generations of experience. Jeff specializes in office, retail, investment, and land properties. For all of your commercial real estate needs, you got to trust Jeff Cadwallader. Now, folks, if you some reason you're thinking, okay, maybe, I don't know, I've got some questions about it, text him, call him, right? 630-254-4734. Shoot him a text. He is awesome about getting back to it. Or you can visit his website, jeffcre.com. If you do talk to Jeff Cadwallader, you got to let him know that the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast say hello.
Sheridan's Barbershop, located in historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois, has been serving the community since 1954. With six barbers, Sheridan's open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. They have appointments available to book online or by phone at your convenience. You can go to sheridansbarbershop.com or you can call 630-668-0137 or head to the app and make your appointment there. That's what I usually do. Book your appointment today. You can also go to Hensel's Barbershop, which is located in downtown Naperville. It's been there since 1966. At Hensel's, they have six barbers. It's open Tuesday through Saturday. They're accepting walk-ins, or you can make an appointment. Go to henselsbarbershop.com. Either way, if you go to Sheridan's or you go to Hensel's, you're going where traditional meets modern.
Ryan,
I did it. It's true. I am that guy. They give great haircuts. That's what I said before I hit the mute button or unmuted, whatever. It doesn't matter. Let's talk Hard Knocks. I got a lot of thoughts on this one. Shells, I know that you haven't had a chance. I'm sorry. If you want to like put in some headphones and just like try to like hum us.
No, man. You missed it pre-show. They already spoiled it for me. They told me that Caleb made the team. It's the whole reason I was watching Hard Knocks. And so whatever. I guess no point in watching now. So go ahead, spoil away.
I got you. All right. So for this one, let's go Jack, Brendan, Cam. Just overall thoughts, boys. Any takeaways that you have from it? If you don't have anything, don't worry about it. We got a packed episode and we can move on. But I definitely have a couple quick thoughts on it. So, Jack, what'd you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great episode. I thought you were especially right about the music at the end. Back to Chicago was a great tune. I think that the only thing we're missing here with Hard Knocks and the Bears right now is, as I've said to Ryan, – quite a bit is the dubs. If all the good vibes also turn into to wins this upcoming season, then Hard Knocks is even that much better because it's super enjoyable to watch. I have two slightly potentially controversial thoughts. One, I wonder if it's, I had this epiphany today while I was watching, like, to what extent is it pay no attention to the man behind the curtain? What if George McCaskey is like producing the whole GD thing? Because it is awfully, awfully, glowingly, amazingly Pleasantville nice. It's so good. Like, there's so much good vibe. So I don't know about that. I'm worried about getting duped a little bit. And then also just real quickly, I think Velas is the guy I used to have. I never coached in the NFL, but I coached a lot of high school. He's the guy that had so much freakish talent that everybody on the sideline, even the pro athletes, go, whoa, when he, you know, runs the ball, when he makes a big play. But I think the Bears are making a mistake because he's also the guy who doesn't seem to be able to put it together mentally. And I don't think they can see the forest through the trees on him. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope the third year clicks for him. But I mentioned that just because there was so much behind the curtain on Velas and the choice to see him, and they were so high on him. And I just think he's a freakish talent that can't mentally put it together. So I'm concerned, but I hope I'm wrong.
You definitely make a good point about it being very Bearsified. Even during like the first round of like just going through around the round table, people are talking about guys are like, oh, he was really good here. He was really good here. I was waiting for somebody to say, yeah, he didn't have a good preseason. Even if they just didn't name like the actual player, there was no negativity whatsoever. And I kind of was a little jaded going into the episode like that because I said, okay, it's just going to be a giant love fest. Not the love fest that Patrick Sheldon probably watches, but other love fests. But I loved some of the moments in that episode as it went on. The montage where they just kept cutting to Caleb Williams doing the different practice throws. Like,
It's so cool.
At first I was like, am I, like, for the first time when it was like moving, I'm like, am I seeing that right? Like, he was just over there. And then they made it a whole thing. I'm like, that is really freaking cool. I love that edit. Phenomenal job by HBO. I was also shocked that they actually showed the cuts because that has been something that hasn't happened in the last few years. They've only showed the guys making the team, but they pretty much did the opposite and said, we're going to show you every single cut because of the fact how personal Ryan Poles makes it and how he knows the feeling. So I thought that was... No, I think I froze up there. I thought that was really, really good. Very interesting decision by them to make that. And then, the ending montage, that was all good vibes and everything. But I loved the final moment of Caleb Williams just putting on and be like, okay, let's focus. Like it felt kind of like it's almost like a superhero thing, like suiting up, like, okay, like it's go time. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. And then last thing I forgot to mention about Velus Jones. The Bears received trade interest for Velus Jones. I froze up.
We can still hear you.
I'm pretty sure.
That's how shocking it was. Is that I had to end it right there? Like,
I'm pretty sure I did say that, and Brendan's like, I hadn't heard anything, and that will never happen again, right? Brendan is way more clued in what's going on than me. Cam, while Brendan is still frozen with that very interesting face that he has going on, what did you take away? I love hearing your perspective on this, Cam, is because you are not a diehard Bears fan like the rest of us. You've covered this team, but that's not where you're coming at from this, and so generally very, very curious your thoughts, your takeaways.
Yeah, no, I didn't obviously tune in quite as diligently as other people, I would say. I thought, to Brendan's point and everyone's point, really, the cut scene with the passing was like an immaculate piece of filmmaking, I guess, for lack of a better term, whatever the phrase right is. Like, it was just one of those, like, oh, how do they do that? And like, part of my problem with those HBO, you know, Hard Knocks team style videos is that they're all the episodes are kind of the same, right? Like, there's like the wide pan into the over the, like, the practice fields, and then like the shots of like the weights bouncing off the floor. Like, I don't know, it feels all very like calculated and normal. And so like, anytime there was a new shot or a new approach to the angle or something, I was like, oh cool, like they're trying, at least, like they're trying to do something differently. So I thought that was cool. I had a different reaction to the Ryan Poles thing. I found it very performative. I don't know. I don't want to like start off on like the being like the biggest asshole in the world. Having had someone tell me that I'm losing my job, like I would not love if they got up and had to like step aside because they were crying. I would be like, all right, like figure this out before or after, I don't know, but like sit down and look them in the eye and tell me that I'm losing my job, right? Like, and that is so curmudgeon-y and like cynical, I guess, but I don't know. I just like, I found it very performative the way I found the Nick Saban thing very performative, where I was like, I don't think this is part of his schedule. Like, I think Hard Knocks was like, we're doing this now, so like get ready. So it looked cool. I didn't pay super hard attention, but that, you know, I saw the Ryan Poole scene on Twitter and I watched it and I was like, it's good that someone could be empathetic. Like, I'm not mad that he cried, or I don't think it's weird that he cried. Like, if I played for him, I'd be pumped if I had a GM that felt that strongly about it, supposedly. I just thought there was a certain amount of, to Jack's point, like playing, like it was all very, the Bears, you know, they couldn't curse because of the McCaskies. Like, there was a positive vibe to everything that felt a little bit manufactured. So like this felt as a part of that manufactured. I don't think it's bad that he cried. I felt it didn't seem sincere to me.
Damn, I was going to say the exact opposite. And so I love Cam, okay. Again, love your perspective. No, I think that's important, right? If we all sit around in this podcast and we agree with everything that everyone is saying, it's boring. Nobody wants to listen to that. You know, the thing that I came away with is I do think that there was some orchestration that it was in an attempt to make the Bears look good. But my one takeaway was that Ryan Poles was so genuine. I think those two guys had a genuine connection, that they might be friends or at least friendly. And it's a job, and he didn't have a choice in which he had to cut this guy. You know, again, you know, Jack and I both coached high school athletics. We know it is not the professionals. We completely understand it. But there has been time, like I had to let a kid go from the team because of something that he had done. And I'm like, you need to understand, like, I don't want to do this, but it is not about you and it's not about me. It is about the betterment of this team because it's bigger than us. And I definitely got emotional when it was happening. And so, you know, Cam, like, I absolutely see what you're saying. I think there is a professionalism that can come with and be like, okay, get emotional about this situation, but don't do it in front of me. Cause clearly on the other side of the table is the far more difficult portion of that conversation. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was thinking that, you know, if it is authentic, a couple of things, one, the guys on the squad are going to talk about it. And I thought, and people around the league are watching it, players around the league are watching it. And I thought, like, with the nature of the dudes that are on the team, it might be a great, if there has been like a stigma that you don't want to come and play in Chicago, I think that might be, that's going to be broken. I think after, if we get a successful season and you think about Sweat and you think about, you know, Keenan and some of these guys talking so glowingly about the team. And the other thing, if it's authentic, it's kind of interesting for me, like from the perspective, it seems like in high school and college, you talk a lot about like time invested in people is never wasted time. And you talk a lot about relationships and investing in people. And if that, I feel like when you do that, then people will run through brick walls for you. So if it translates like at the professional level in the Bears organization, boy, that would be really pretty cool. I haven't seen it operate like that on other Hard Knocks or like when we get the curtain pulled back on other teams, but I do like it. And again, sorry to be repetitive, but if it equates into W's, then man, they've got a formula going. They really do. And that's cool.
Big if.
I like the team then. I like the vibe of the team, the people on the team. Like a lot of really good guys seem to be on this roster.
I thought it looked, as far as how the Bears look now as an organization, it was a great look. I agree. I thought I wouldn't want to be the guy that was like, hey, look, we cut guys really well here. Look, like, here's the example. Like, yeah. I just, in that moment, I felt bad for him being like kind of put into the spotlight as, look how good we are as an organization that we cry when we tell you don't have a job. Like, I don't know. Something felt kind of weird about that to me.
I totally understand that. I saw that clip on Twitter and I had kind of a similar reaction to you, Cam, where I was like, if I was the guy being cut, I would sit there like, I know you feel bad, dude, but you don't feel as bad as me because I'm
exactly.
I should be the one in tears. It's funny. I did have that. I mean, I don't think it was inauthentic, but I did think like you got to kind of understand the moment too and realize that his job is over now. He's unemployed and his dream could be over. So while that's difficult for you as a general manager,
Not the same thing, empathetic, right.
Up front, and then maybe at the end you can, you know, be like, hey, get a little bit more emotional. But I think you got to be a little bit more, you know, understand the other guy, the guy on the other side of the table is probably feeling a lot worse than you are because you're keeping your job.
He's a human being. I think that's the thing that reigns for, you know, like some of these guys, like when you watched cuts, it was so just like, you're gone. Thank you so much. Have a great day. It was just like rip off the Band-Aid where like, I'm not disputing that. And Cam, I think, and Shells, I think that's a great point, but I do think that he came across, however, if it was well edited or not, he seemed to me to be a real human being, which I just think is awesome. Two other very quick things because I want to make sure that we get to predictions. Hopefully, Brendan and Logan will be back by the time we get started with this. Jack, I want to give you major, major, major props because you stood up and defended Valus time and time again. And to say what you just said, you know, I mean this sincerely, dude, is like, you know, to admit when we're wrong, I think is a really, really important trait. And I totally agree with you. This when they talking and singing his praises, I kept thinking to myself, you guys have a blind spot for this kid who has a proclivity towards turning the football over at the most inopportune times. Yes, he is talented, but he's a turnover machine. And so, you know, and he turned it over here in preseason. So I think it was a big mistake. I like him as a human being. He seems like an awesome kid, but I don't want him on my football team.
I just thought the thing that really stuck out to me in two episodes ago when he was playing, I guess, you know, mop up time, you know, in the preseason game, and he broke off a couple of runs. And whenever I see other professional athletes on the sidelines acting like little giddy kids when they watch another professional athlete perform, that was the trigger for me. It was like they're down on the field watching this guy and whatever, like his size, his speed and his agility. Like those guys are geeked out by it. So I'm probably Flus is geeked out by it and Poles is geeked out. Now, but the only other thing I'd say, and I want to hear what Shells has to say, there is a bit of a case that they made, I think, legitimately about the various roles he can potentially play on the team. They even talked about him playing gunner, you know, I mean, so speed does kill in this game. And so there is that possibility that he becomes, you know, that versatile type of player. And maybe they understand like this is what his role is and begin to take him out of those positions where he can really F up bad, to your point, Hardy.
Yeah, I got a quick thought about Valus, but before I just want to make an observation. Shagru talked about watching a love fest and then just disappeared for about 9 minutes. I'm not drawing any conclusions. I'm just pointing out. I'm just stating facts. It's just an observation.
You had a hit out on me.
I said that, and you made a call to somebody and said, "We got to take this guy out." And sure,
talking about a video menage or something. I don't know what you were doing.
What's that word? You guys are still talking about Valus?
We are.
I know. You know what? We've talked about Valus enough on this pod. That's a good call, Shagru. I got nothing to add on Valus.
Fair enough.
So then my last point, the last thing that I want to talk about, the Austin Reed situation. I know Brendan and I spent a little bit of time in the last episode of the Bear Down Chicago podcast talking about Austin Reed. And we were surprised that he was the pick, you know, thinking maybe that he has a higher ceiling. And it made a whole lot of sense. My wife and I, I give her major, major props. She's not a huge football fan, but she's been watching with me. And, you know, she's like, hey, who makes it? Who makes it? Who makes it? And I'm like, I'm not going to tell you. She's like, please just tell me who makes it. I'm like, well, they decided to keep Austin Reed, but I don't know why. And then you find out the real reason, right, is because Brett Rypien is you know, gets an offer to play in Minnesota. And then, you know, he didn't have to say nice stuff, right? Like, yes, there were probably some people that were given middle fingers on their way out, right? But I don't know. I thought it was a class act from him. He's not going to be poster board material, right, when they play the Vikings. And so I think that part is cool. And it was fun to watch a kid, Austin Reed, live his dream. And you know, you could tell it was so genuine that he just wanted to play football and he gets to play football a little bit longer. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what team he is. I think that's cool. And I'm excited about it.
Agreed. I agree.
Okay, cool. Boys, anything else before we get to predictions?
I don't think so. I think we can put Hard Knocks to bed.
All right. So, boys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue in the exact same order. Logan just sent me a text. He is in traffic in Los Angeles. So,
no way, really?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
No, what an excuse.
Right, 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 right. Yes, right. Yeah.
So, what a liar.
So what we're going to have to do, boys, what we're going to have to do is you're going to have to help me when he does get here. When he does get here, we're going to have to find out the games that we missed through him. But I want to go the exact same order through this whole entire thing. It's just going to make life a lot easier for me. I am keeping a tab. I know you can't all see it, but I actually have it printed out. I went real fancy to make sure that I keep order. Brendan, if you have a tie, you're off the podcast, and I'm going to come to your house and stab you in the face.
Let's go. Wait, I have an announcement. I have an announcement. This is something nobody else remembers, but I am a man of my word. A while back, I said if I hit a certain number of followers, I would eat pickle cotton candy. Let's go. So that's what we are doing today. Every single loss that somebody predicts – I'm eating a handful of this bad stuff. I haven't had it yet. My wife tried it. She said it's really not good. So we're going to find out. Every time one of us picks a loss, I'm eating pickle cotton candy.
Well, man, then I've got him going 0-17.
Yeah, I was going to 1-16. Yeah.
I mean, that's a no-brainer. Sorry, guys. Good show.
This is all right, very guys.
The other thing, boys, and I cannot stress this enough so that we are not here until next week, is – give us win or loss. You do not need a score, win or loss, and a sentence or two on why you are predicting that. If it's already been said, you can echo like the sentiments of the person that went before you. And again, if you boys could help me when Logan does eventually get here, I would greatly appreciate it. So the order that we are going to continually go in, we're going to go Shells, Jack Wright, Brendan Giroux, Cam, and then Logan. I will finish it up one more time. So everyone that is listening, Patrick Sheldon, Jack Wright, Brendan Giroux, Cam Ellis, Logan Bradley, and then me, Ryan Dangle, I will finish it up. So boys, are we ready to do this? We ready to pick the winners and find out what the Bears are going to do in this 2024 season? All
born ready.
Ah, yes. I like the Bear Claw. Do we pull that? Do we like the Bear Claw? Do we not like the Bear Claw?
I like it.
Oh, Cam, keep being that guy that disagrees with everything that we say. I love it.
Everyone loves a contrarian, right? A classic bit.
All right, let's do it. All right, so the Bears are going to be facing the Titans. Titans coming to town this Sunday. Very, very, very excited about it. And so for this one, win, loss, and just your overall thoughts. So the Titans. Shells, what do you got?
Yeah, I saw the stat. No first overall pick has won their first game. That's hogwash. This is a completely different scenario, different situation. I got the Bears beating the Titans, who I don't think are a good team.
I also have the Bears beating the Titans in the opener. I know that Ryan's going to also drop that knowledge, and it is awfully worrisome when you hear that stat about rookie quarterbacks. But I think that the Titans are still a long ways from rebuilding their roster.
I have a win as well. They are facing some old and slow wide receivers. I put out today that the Titans wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley, averaged 2.3 yards of separation, which was 10th lowest in the league last year, according to Next Gen Stats. That's the Bears secondary is going to eat, and Caleb's going to be just fine in his debut.
I think they're going to lose. I actually like the Titans. I think that they like have some nice pieces there. And I think they've like, I'm always sucker for a team that just spends a bunch of money, and I know it doesn't usually work, but like, I kind of like what they're doing. And I don't know. I think the Bears are gonna be pressing. There's gonna be a lot of pressure. It's at home. Caleb Williams, they're gonna want a 380 yard game. I think it's going to take a game or two to get sort of things going here normally. So I think the Bears are going to lose this game.
Brendan, give us a quick timeout and tell us, how does that pickle cotton candy taste?
You know, once you get at the initial pickle taste is rough. That's tough. But then you get like the sugar and it's okay. At the aftertaste is okay, but it's rough going. Never mind. I'm not going to say what I'm going to say.
I was ready.
You can't.
So much potential.
I saw it. I held off.
Set up Patrick Sheldon. You can't do it. You cannot set him up. Okay. So with this one, I struggled mightily for a couple of reasons. Number one, Eberflus comes out flat out of the gates. It seems to be his MO so far. Now, I understand that this team is far more talented than anything that he's ever had before, but he has slow starts. It's that rookie thing. I think the Bears eke out a win, but unfortunately, I don't think Caleb is going to look very good in week one. He's a rookie. We've got to remember that. So, boys, here we go. Let's move on to at Texans. So the following Sunday at Texans, it's a 7:20 game. So what do we got, boys?
All right, get ready to watch that pickle hit Shagru's lips because I got a loss at the Texans.
Excuse me?
That's what's happening. I don't think any more needs to be said. I said enough.
Get that pickle on your...
Once it hits your lips, it's so good. It's so good. I hear the... isn't the sour taste bud in the back of your tongue, Shagru? Yeah.
I can't even answer you seriously anymore. Like, I'm afraid, man.
Week two versus Houston. I fear that the instability at long snapper is going to be the determining factor. And ultimately, the Bears are going to lose in week two to Houston.
Long snapper, huh?
Well, crucial. I mean, you guys spent about 40 minutes on it last episode, so I figure
we did. Yeah, they're also kicking indoors, so I mean that.
Oh, true. Okay. I'm just kidding, guys.
Guys, I got a dub.
What?
I got a dub. Listen to me. I think the Texans are a good, not great team. They were out of all the division winners last year. They were last in point differential. They had some stinkers too. I think we've got like some rosy colored glasses watching the Texans. They lost to the Jets. They lost to the Panthers. They looked terrible against Denver and Tennessee late in the year. And they almost lost to the Colts and didn't even make the playoffs on week 18. They had a good playoff game. I just think like this is going to be a measuring stick game. And I think the Bears are going to get themselves up for it. They know it's a national stage. And I think they're going to surprise people and start 2-0 and really put themselves on the map with a win here.
You just don't want to eat any more pickles. That's
yeah. What are we doing here?
I'm aware of what I'm prepared to do.
I think they're going to lose. I think the Texans are better. I think that there are games that they'll pull out later in the year that they probably have no business winning. But I don't think it's gonna be this one.
Big fat L on this one. Brendan, I hear everything you're saying. You are a very, very, very smart man, but I just think they're a year ahead of the Bears or a little bit ahead of the Bears. That's where I'm kind of at. Colts. Bears head to the Colts Stadium. I've been to the Colts Stadium. It's a nice stadium. Cam, I know this will be a special week for you because JJ Stankovic, good friend of the podcast, very good friend of Cam Ellis, has agreed to come on to the show at some point, whether that be before or after the game. We don't know, but we're going to be talking with JJ Stankovic and we're excited. I kind of want to have a reunion of your old podcast, like before, you know, before everything goes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We'll make it happen.
All right. So, boys, at Colts, 12 o'clock start, September 22nd. What do we got?
I got a win here. I'm not a big Anthony Richardson fan. I think he struggled in the preseason, too, coming off an injury where he missed substantial time last year. It's going to take him a bit to get going. But, again, I'm not a big fan of his overall. I think the Colts are going to struggle. I think Flus comes home and gets a nice little feather in his cap.
I was telling Ryan today, I made these predictions, I think May 12th when the schedule came out. And so I'm kind of curious to see the way I think about them now that we're, on the cusp of the season. I have a win. But I'm not feeling as good about it, to be honest with you. I do think Anthony Richardson is quite a threat. And if he remains healthy, he has weapons that I think are awfully good. But nonetheless, I do think the Bears prevail. It's a dub against Indianapolis.
I have a tie. So there's that. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Ha ha. I have a loss, actually. The Colts are kind of a weird wild card team to me. I have no idea what to expect from Anthony Richardson. He barely played last year because he got hurt. I think he's got some decent weapons. I like what the Colts did in the draft, too, and I think their defense is pretty underrated. And if I'm picking them to get a win against the Texans in week two, I think this will be kind of like a letdown game in week three, and they'll get the L with two straight road games.
I think they're going to win. I think this is going to be their first win. Like, I think this is going to be the game where Caleb Williams has like his first big highlight that like gets tweeted out by the NFL's account. Like, the defensive line makes me kind of worried, but their secondary is kind of mess. So like, I see a world where there are a bunch of crazy ass, like 25 yard off platform throws or whatever. Like, this is the game that I think Caleb Williams, everyone has the like, oh, Caleb Williams is nice moment. And I think this is like the first big, I think this is the first big win of the Bears Caleb Williams era.
I think Anthony Richardson is going to run really well against the Bears, albeit I think somewhat weak defensive line, but I think they're, you know, linebackers and their secondary is outstanding. I do find the Bears getting the dub, but I think this one is going to be awfully close. And so we will see what happens there, boys. All right. Damn, I wish Logan was here. This would be a perfect timing. The Rams are coming to town on September 29th, also a 12 o'clock start. What do we got, boys?
So I've got the Bears getting off to a kind of uneven start, and so I've got them winning two out of their first three, so I'm going to even it off here with a loss. I think I'll take Stafford's experience in this one over Caleb. I think, to your point earlier, Shagrew, the Texans had some stinkers last year, and we look back now at the season, and we think about what kind of year Stroud had, and it was pretty good, but those are the kinds of ups and downs you're going to get with a rookie quarterback led team. And so I think you're going to get a bit of an uneven start here from the Bears. So I got them coming out of the gate 2-2 with a loss here to the Rams.
I've got a dub at home versus the Rams. I think the Rams are such a weird spot right now. They've got a lot of money invested in players that have been on the roster for a long time. And we all know that that makes it a little bit more difficult than to build depth across the roster. And so while they've got Nacua and they've got Kupp and they've got Stafford, which those are great weapons, I'm just not sure the rest of the roster can match up with the Bears' prominence.
Yeah, I like the Rams offense. I have questions about their defense. I've got a win. And a big reason why is the fact that the Rams have to travel east and play in the early time slot games. That's hard for West Coast teams to do. The Rams are 2-4 since 2022 in those noon games. And their two wins came, I think it was like a 9-7 win over the Giants last year. And I think a overtime win against the Colts a couple years ago. So like, even if their wins are really close. So they have lost Aaron Donald, like the best player in the last decade. And last year they were 22nd in defensive DVO last year with him. So the fact that they don't have him this year, I think their defense is going to take a step back. The Bears capitalize on that.
Yeah, I think the Rams are suspiciously thin at places, and I think the injuries are tough in really like crucial spots right now. And I'm a big believer in the West Coast team struggling to play on the East Coast. I just think the Bears are gonna have a tough first month, and I think they're gonna lose to some teams that they probably wouldn't lose to in December. And I think after the Rams schedule, the Bears are gonna like go on a heater if you look at how easy things get the next 5-6 weeks. But I think it's gonna be a tough month, and I think they start 1-4. So I'll give them an L there too. 1-3, excuse me. That's way better.
I have a W, but again, still not feeling great about it. I think they're going to probably be playing somewhat boring Chicago Bears football, running the football a lot, trying to lean on their defense a little bit, and not necessarily seeing what Caleb can do just yet. I have a feeling that Bears fans might get a little frustrated at this point, not seeing the Caleb Williams that they really, really, really want to see. And that's where I'm at, but I still am looking for a Bears dub. All right, boys. Panthers then come to town October 6th. Panthers.
Yeah, just real quick, that's a great point, RD, and it's something I thought about too, is how will Flus take the handcuffs off Caleb, and if so, when? Because I we do want to see him develop, right? But not at the expense. We want to see them get wins, but not at the complete expense of Caleb developing. Like if he feels like he's got a playoff team, does he maybe, I don't want to say stunt Caleb's development a little bit in favor of wins, the way we saw, you know, maybe like what he did with Fields, where he was trying to hide him and just win the game? Or are we going to, for once, trust a quarterback to go win us a football game? Are we going to play conservatively? That's a great point. It's something I think we should spend some more time on here in the coming weeks. But as for the Panthers game, I've got a win. I think this is going to be a blowout. I don't know. There's much more to say. The Panthers are brutal.
I also have a win versus the Panthers. I do think they've made some improvements that will make them significantly better. Their coaching staff, some positional players, and also through the draft. But I don't think at this point the middle schooler who's playing quarterback is going to be like fully ready to. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about the little guy with the backpack. That was Bryce. Oh. I got really confused. But anyway, their quarterback, who was the number one pick, he's still going to be on the struggle bus because that team is still pretty weak.
Old man gets confused on podcast.
Ouch.
Oh, man. The Panthers still stink. They got better. They added Deontay Johnson. I think Xavier Leggett is a decent wide receiver, and they invested in the offensive line. I don't think that's going to make Bryce Young go from a bad quarterback to an excellent quarterback. And they lost a lot of defensive pieces too. So I think the Bears handle them with ease.
Yeah. Look, man, if you're not beating the Panthers at home at 12 PM, like, I don't love it. Like I think they're going to win pretty easily. This would be the first week that like panic would seep in, right? Like if they lost the Panthers and it started off bad, like week five against the Panthers would be when people start freaking out. Fair or not, like that would be the week, I think.
He's here, folks. Logan Bradley is here on the podcast. His mustache looks so damn. If you're an audio only listener, you need to check us out on YouTube just to see Logan Bradley's mustache. And that reason,
guys, I know that I'm not here enough because I've been mustache for like two straight years or so. So yeah. Like every time I come on here, I'm like, I've got a mustache, and god damn it, does it look good? I guess, you know, I'm not gonna say that it does.
How is traffic?
Hour and 20 minutes, guys, to get home. How about that? How about
that sounds terrible. All right, yeah. So Logan Bradley, we're gonna get you caught up here in just a second. So the Panthers are coming to town October 6th at 12 o'clock start. You got a win or a loss, and then very, very short, just overall thoughts. Why?
It's a win because it's the Panthers. The Panthers are still going to stink this year. Bryce Young's not that good, so I don't think you need a whole lot of analysis there. I think I heard the end of the last one, and that was right. It's the Panthers. You better be beating them.
All right, so Logan, let's get you caught up. Titans this weekend. What do you got, win or loss for the Bears?
I have a win because I can't say a loss in week one. It's the Titans, not all that impressive, so let's get a win.
At the Texans?
Loss. I don't think that we're ready to go 2-0 yet. Tough, good Texans team. CJ Stroud in year two. Not quite yet.
At Colts?
At the Colts. Let's go with a loss. I'm pretty high on Anthony Richardson. I sure hope it's not a loss, but 1-2.
Okay. And versus the Rams. Rams coming to town, coming to Chicago.
Oof, give me a win in that game.
Okay. All right. Sorry, boys. I know I'm the one that said I want to keep things moving, but I've been dying to ask Logan this. So just thinking the Keenan Allen thing, how much is it being talked about in LA? Are the Chargers like, are they decimated? Are they devastated by it? Or is it like, it's time for him to move on?
First of all, it's like weird. Nobody talks about sports in LA, and I was going to say they don't. They definitely don't talk about the Chargers, let alone even the Rams. But I mean, just from a perspective of somebody who, like last night, I drafted Keenan Allen late in a fantasy league. But the Chargers, it's just so weird to think of like what they're doing, because their number one wide receiver is Joshua Palmer, who I remember like whenever he was drafted 3 or so years ago, I still to this day remember bringing him as like my draft sleeper to this show and talking about him. So the fact that he's anything in this league, let alone probably a Darnell Mooney from a couple of years ago type number one receiver for the Chargers is impressive. But I do think that they're going to miss Keenan Allen just because Justin Herbert's a good quarterback, but I don't know if he can move mountains with the receiving core that they have there right now.
Panthers are stinky. I'm taking a dub. You guys already said it, so let's move on. I love it. Let's go. Bears headed to London, headed to the UK versus the Jaguars. You put verse, but really everybody's away in this one. Boys, what do we got?
I got a win here, too, against the Jags. This is the start of a little mini winning streak I have for the Bears, so I got them beating the Jags in London.
I think, you know, the British are not going to be ready for Caleb and the Bears. Now, I'm a little concerned because the Jaguars seem to make London their second home. And so they've got more experience making the travel and doing the whole routine. But I do think that the Bears will win against the Jags in London.
Oi, cheers, Governor. Sir Jack Wright is correct. The Jaguars are good in London. They're 3-1 in the last 4 games. Across the pond. This is a terrible British accent. Really, and I'm concerned that the Bears aren't going to prep enough like they did the last time when they showed up on Thursday afternoon and weren't prepared and lost to the Raiders. I'm so afraid that the McCaskies are going to do that again. I think it's going to be a loss. And also the Jaguars are kind of, I think they're better than what they did last year with Trevor Lawrence getting hurt. So I think Jaguars get the win in London.
Cam?
Yeah, I think they're going to win. I think the Bears are going to win. I think it will maybe be the least fun game of the whole year in terms of just like football aesthetics on your television. So, but it's a win's a win, right?
Well, not only that, real quickly, Kate, you have to get up at like 7:30 in the morning, like watching football at 7:30 in the morning. That's not fun.
No, it's not. It was 7:45. Let's be honest. Like I'll miss the scripted drive. It'll be okay.
Logan.
Yeah, no, Cam's right. The UK games just are legally required to be disgusting games. And I do agree with Brendan. I think that the Jaguars are a little bit better this year than people will think. So unfortunately, I'm going to go with a loss.
Yeah, I'm also going to give the Bears an L on this one. I don't think they travel well or they compete to travel well. I think there will be lots of Bears fans there, but I just don't see it happening. I want to apologize for all of the Chicago Bears fans in the UK that watch or listen to this show on a regular basis. Brendan does not represent us. His accents for Chicago are fantastic and spot on, but that might have been one of the worst British accents I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good, Brendan. Don't.
Yeah, it wasn't. But
was it? Was it really? The bye week. Hey, everybody wins the bye week. Everybody wins the bye week. Really quick, boys. Your favorite bye week activity? Go.
Golfing.
I think it's gonna be golfing this year for me too.
Drinking Modelo's.
Oh.
Backyard games.
Whatever the kids tell me to do.
I say,
spoken in true dad fashion.
We will either be apple picking, we will be in some kind of corn maze, something to that effect, and I'm okay with that. So, you know,
yeah, I bet there's a bunch of good college football on that weekend, right? Like October 7th, mm-hmm. That's like the heart of meaty college football season.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. All right, boys, the Bears are then going to head to the Commanders on October 27th. What do we got, boys?
Yeah, sorry, real quick, just to bring Logan up to speed, Shagru is going to eat a handful of pickle-flavored cotton candy for every loss that we predict. I don't want to influence your decisions from here on out, Logan.
Like total? Like the group, the amount of losses?
No, like for each one we so if we predict 5 losses in a game, if we each predict a loss for that game, he eats 5 handfuls of
all right
goals to get him to finish it by the end of the night.
Yeah. All right. Well, all of a sudden I've soured on Bears just a little bit.
I say all that, and now I'm going to predict a win against the Commanders. I think it's going to be a great game. I really have liked Jaden Daniels for a long time, so I'm really interested to see what he does in the NFL. Loved him at Arizona State, and then he kind of fell off the face of the earth before sort of revitalizing his college career there at LSU. So I'm very excited to see him. I think it's going to be a bit of a showdown. I think Caleb steps up in big moments. I think he likes the spotlight, and I'm anxious to see those two go head to head, hopefully for many years to come. But I got the Bears with a win and completing a little 3-game winning streak.
I also have the Bears winning at Washington. I guess I don't follow them that closely, but I don't really know what their plan is right now. Like Montez Sweat out the door, and you know, Scary Terry was so incredibly average last year. Rookie quarterback. I think that the Bears defense will be well schemed to make Daniels' day a long, long day. BT Dubs, I currently have the Bears at 6-1.
Wow.
Let's go. I have a win as well. I don't know if I'm buying the Jaden Daniels hype. I see a lot of Justin Fields in him, except he's a much skinnier and just probably can't take hits as well. I also am concerned about their lack of weapons. As you mentioned, Jack, Scary Terry is not that good. Their defense, I know they got a few people in free agency and everything. I still don't think they're going to be that good. They'll probably be improved because Dan Quinn's guys at least fight hard for him, but it's going to be a win. And let's just hope the stadium doesn't fall apart on Caleb Williams. That would be the biggest loss ever.
Yes, it would be. I think the Bears are going to win. This is going to be the whole Caleb Williams goes home thing. So that'll be that. I don't think the Commanders are all that good. I think they're maybe headed in the right direction, but I don't think they're there yet. So give me the Bears win.
I also have a Bears win. This is tough going last because I can't make all like the little jokes. Like I was going to make the stadium like falling and someone joke or something like that. But no, Bears win. I like Jaden Daniels, but at the same time, they are getting talked up a lot for a team that, as Brendan mentioned, I don't think they have a ton of really scary weapons. So Bears dub.
I don't know why. I just got a feeling that this is a Bears dominant win. I have a feeling that the Commanders will come in and maybe they'll both have good records walking into it. But I get the sense that the Bears are just going to win this one big. I don't know why. Just a feeling that I got. At the Arizona Cardinals, a 3:05 start, November 3rd. Boys, what do we got? Is he muted?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys didn't hear that? Something's wrong with your audio, RD, if you want to check that real quick. So what I was saying before somebody cut me off was that I think the Bears are going to get tripped up heading over to the West Coast. And it's going to be, I got them coming off a 3-game winning streak. I think this one kind of trips them up and they take a loss to the Cardinals.
I'm also concerned about this one. I think Arizona wins this game. I think it's a Bears loss. I have this feeling it's the year of Kyler Murray. I think he has given up playing video games permanently. And I think Trey McBride is awfully talented, and there's a lot of great weapons on that team. So I'm concerned that's a loss for the Bears.
Doesn't Call of Duty come out in early November this year?
That's what I was going to say.
Okay, I'm going to say that, Logan. That's your thing, not my thing.
That's okay. You already did.
No, I have a win. This is a 3:05 game, so this is the game that everybody's going to forget about, and it's probably going to be a really stinky one. But the Bears have never lost in State Farm Stadium, so I will take that little piece of history and ride with it. So I say the Bears get a dub.
I didn't know that.
I think the Bears are going to win. I think this may be the biggest Bears win of the whole year. The Cardinals secondary is bad. They are not good at all. And I don't know. This feels like a 35-point Bears game, so I'll take a win.
Yep, I'm going to go win as well. Nice little win streak here. But, Jack, the year of Kyler Murray, I don't know what you're reading up on. I'm not seeing that, but I respect you regardless.
Logan, didn't you have a really good Call of Duty stat that you were going to share?
You already, you touched on the Call of Duty thing, Brendan. Maybe just for the next game, think about the possibly funny thing I'm going to touch on and just don't say it.
For once. Okay.
Thanks.
Sorry.
Every season you win a game you have no business winning and you lose a game you should absolutely win. I think that's a lot of travel headed to the UK. Yeah, they got the bye week. Then they head to the Commanders, heading to the Cardinals. I think that's a rough stretch for them in terms of travel. I got a Bears loss on this one. The Patriots, the Gerard Mayo Patriots. That Mayo Patriots. There's a good joke in there probably somewhere, but I'm not funny enough to come together with it. So I'm just going to move on here.
They're all in the stands. That's the joke. All the Mayo Patriots are in the stands.
I see what he did there. I see. This is why Cam Ellis is on the Bear Down Chicago podcast. So Patriots coming to town, 12 o'clock start. What do we got, boys?
I think Drake May could be under center at this point in the season. The Patriots are really bad. Bears have some really crappy teams on their schedule the first half of the year. I got an easy win here against the Patriots.
The Patriots are bad, and I'm here for it. This is going to be like 1985 level Bears versus Patriots. Duh, Bears. Big win. Big dub for the Bears.
Yeah, the Patriots, just everybody said it. They're a mess. This is the game, I think, like Cam said, we're going to see against the Cardinals. I think this is going to be a major beatdown, and we're going to feel sad for Drake May in the fourth quarter because he's going to still be out there getting his body picked up off the Soldier Field turf, and everybody's going to be concerned for his well-being.
Yeah, I think it's an easy win. Things get real fast after this game. Like, the Bears schedule gets real quick afterwards, so I think this is their last like real easy win of the year.
To spice it up a little bit here at the end, I'm going to make a very specific prediction. The Bears are going to win this one big, and a member of the Patriots defense is going to get a sack when they're down by about 35 points, and he's going to tear his ACL while celebrating that sack.
Does that mean Cole Kmet's going to go off for like 200 yards and two touchdowns?
Exactly.
I got a sense that the Bears just, you know, have the Patriots number for a little while. Yes, the Pats are stinky, but I don't know, man. I feel like if they're going to be frustrated. The Patriots fans are going to be frustrated by the Bears for a little while whenever they play each other. I know it's not super often, but I don't know why. I got that feeling. This is insane. All right. November 17th, their first division game, like the NFC North finally shows up. And it is the Packers coming to town, November 17th, a 12 o'clock start.
Yeah, this is it, guys. I can't wait for this game. I got it circled. This is the beginning of a new era in Chicago. Caleb Williams reverses the trend. We start our ownership of the Packers on that day, and I get on Twitter and I say unspeakable things to Packers fans. I tell them to do things to themselves that would make you shudder, and all is well in the world because the Bears are going to beat the Packers.
You're insane.
Patrick, are you feeling okay right now? You're good? You're good? You're feeling okay? All right.
I'm doing great.
CO2 leak or anything in the car? Okay. I don't think that the Bears are going to beat the Packers. I feel strongly about this one. I've said it several times. The Bears aren't better than the Packers until they are. Even if the roster is better, LaFleur is a better coach. He's a better OC. Right now, Jordan Love is a better quarterback. They've got their number one receiver, the Packers. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is Depth. Apparently, he's very good. I don't know when he was drafted. And I don't know what his contract is, but apparently his name is Depth. And he's
is that a shot across Orlovsky's bow?
It might be. It, yeah, it is. So yeah. Anyway, that's a loss, unfortunately, to the Cheeseheads.
I've said it once. I've said it again. I am Bart Simpson, and I will write on the chalkboard. I will not pick the Bears to beat the Green Bay Packers until it actually happens. So this is going to be a loss. Also, the Packers scare me more than Lions. I hate that.
Come on, guys. Sack up, will you?
They're going to lose to the Packers. My prediction is that this is the first Bears weather game of the year, and it's a little mushy, and there's some snow, and things get a little gnarly, and they'll still lose, but it'll be cool to watch.
Wow. Yeah, I remember. What, you got some, Brandon? What?
Keep going.
Okay. Pop some more cotton candy in your mouth then, because I remember sitting here when it was probably Justin Fields' first full year as a starter in this exact moment, like, oh, first Packers game, and I was like, Bears are gonna win, baby. It's the start of a new era. And I do think that it could be the start of a new era, but as you gentlemen have alluded to, I don't think that I can say out loud that the Bears will beat the Packers just yet, even though I think they can. I think it's going to be a loss.
They're going to lose. I mean, it's LaFleur has their number. Sheldon, whatever you're smoking, like, I want some of it. I want to know what.
I hope he's right.
But dude, of course I hope he's right. But
if the Bears win, I want everybody that's listening right now to remember I am the only one on this pod that picked them to win. And if they lose, I want you to delete this episode and we never speak about it again. Clear?
All right. All right, fair enough. So just as a quick recap, as it sits right now, my math isn't great, but I think I can add up. I have the Bears at 6-4. Brennan, you have the Bears at 7-3. Jack, 7-3. Shell, 7-3. Logan, 6-4. And Cam, 6-4. That's really interesting to see such similar standings at this point in the season. The Vikings come to town for this one. It is also a 12 o'clock start, November 24th. What do we got, boys?
Yeah, so, Vikings are in a rough spot. Although they are favored slightly to beat the Giants in New York, which tells you how bad the Giants are. I have a win here at home against the Vikings. That's all I got.
I have profound insight and in-depth analysis on the Vikings. Sam Darnold is their quarterback.
Yeah.
The Bears are going to win.
Sam Darnold, a.k.a. I love our Vikings friends fans. I really do. They're very good guys. But when they came on and said they were happy that Kirk Cousins left and Sam Darnold can be a good quarterback for them, I couldn't do it. Sam Darnold stinks. And I know he's got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, but you know what? The Bears have Jalen Johnson, Tyreek Stevenson, and Kyler Gordon. Sam Darnold is going to be seeing ghosts at Soldier Field.
I think the Bears are going to win. I think Sam Darnold's going to end up as like the 16th best quarterback in football this year, which is like for saying something for Sam Darnold. But I think the Bears are going to win. I think this is one of the few gettable division games for them, and I think they come away with it.
Yeah, I have a win as well, but I do kind of agree with Cam. I think Sam Darnold's going to be fine for the Vikings. I don't think that he'll be that bad.
Got a Bears dub. You guys have already said it. It's time to move on. The favorite time of the year, boys, Thanksgiving. My only job is to sit around, eat football, eat too much food.
You can do that.
Eat too much food, watch usually really bad football, and spend time with family and trying to find a place to fall asleep. And so for this one, it is 11:30 start, Thanksgiving, November 28th. What do we got?
I got a loss here, Brendan, I got a loss here. Are we not doing that anymore? I mean,
I've been doing the whole time. I've been doing it the whole time, my friend.
Just kidding. I have a loss. I think I know you guys like the Packers as sort of the class of the NFC North. I think it's the Lions right now until they get knocked off. I really like the Lions. I think they got a great club. So I got a loss here, unfortunately, and a pretty sour Thanksgiving day for us.
Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I really dislike how everyone steps on it and starts doing the Christmas stuff early. It's going to be a loss, and even that loss won't spoil my love for Thanksgiving. That's how much I love Thanksgiving. I think the Lions are just too good.
I hate the fact that the Bears play the Thanksgiving again. I know some people love it. It brings families together. Good for you. I hate it because it means I have to work more. But that being said, the Lions suck on Thanksgiving. They are 0-7, and the Bears have beaten them three times since then, in 2018, 2019, and 2021. For some reason, the Lions hate Turkey Day. I still love Turkey Day, and the Bears are going to make my day better with a win, even though I wish they were playing on Sunday.
Yeah, I think they're going to lose. 4 days between Minnesota game and the Detroit game is not good enough, long enough to play football twice in 1 week. And, at home to Detroit, it's one of the big games. Like it's a loss.
Yeah. Three straight divisional games. That's going to be really tough. And like Cam said, that's a short turnaround. I want to say that the Bears will win this game just because the Lions, if I was looking at it correctly, I haven't won on Thanksgiving since 2016. But no, I'm marking this as a loss for the Bears.
You know, it's one of those, I want to pick a win just because you always win a game you shouldn't, you lose a game you shouldn't, but I just don't see it. The Lions are such a good football team, which is still just such an odd thing to say. I have a hard time talking about the Detroit Lions as a good football team. Huh, go figure. Bears headed to 49ers, 3:25 start on December 8th. What do we got, boys?
Gonna eat this whole thing.
I got another loss here. Yeah, I know. The 49ers are fantastic, and this one could get ugly. They're just an overall much better, much more complete team. Playing in San Francisco, this one could get bad. So I'm gonna loss here.
You know, I think probably since CMC is on one of my 12 fantasy football teams, he'll probably be injured. But even being injured, the Niners are still too stacked, and the Bears will lose to the San Francisco 49ers.
You know, when you eat a lot of this at once, you just taste the sugar after a while, so it's not bad.
You're going to be up till 4 a.m.
Yeah. The ingredients in here are not good, by the way. It's a loss. It's the Niners. They're loaded. They're the best. They're one of the best teams in football. And it's a road game. Literally everything that could go wrong with this game will probably go wrong. So yeah, it's a loss.
I think it's a loss. I was so tempted to be that guy and was like, well, like, they're playing in Buffalo the week before. They're turning around 2-3 days after the Bears game to play the Rams on Thursday Night Football. Like, this is – it's a tricky spot for the 49ers to be in with the Bears team. But, yeah, I think it's 49ers. I think they're too good.
I'll be the idiot and say the Bears are going to win this football game. I maybe call it, like, 49ers fatigue. Like, obviously, they're a very good football team. They got tons of offensive weapons. But I don't know. I feel like this feels like maybe one of the last years of that really solid 49ers core being together. And I just, for some reason, feel like a little bit of a disappointment is coming for them. So I could see the Bears being hungry coming off of a loss to the Lions on Thanksgiving Day and just being angry and playing angry and hopefully having really a signature win in this game.
Caleb Williams is a rookie quarterback. I have a feeling, unfortunately, that he's going to have a rough stretch for these two games. People are going to start to ask a couple questions, and it's not going to be a good look for him. I have a Bears loss in this one. Bears headed to the Vikings December 16th for a Monday Night Football game, 7 p.m. start. What do we got, boys?
Oh, no, he did it again.
He did it again.
Did you do it a second time?
Now he has to eat the cotton candy next.
Yeah.
If you don't get the audio issue fixed, I think this might be my last time on the pod. What was I even saying? Oh, I was giving you credit. I was going back to something you said earlier, I think, about the Arizona game where you win games you're not supposed to and you lose games you're not supposed to. I think this is going to be one of those games that they are going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I think Flus is going to Flus this one up somehow. I don't know. Maybe he'll, I don't know what he's going to do, but he'll Flus it up. And I got this one as a loss, unfortunately.
So just to recap, Cam and Logan, Kyler Murray, bad quarterback, Sam Darnold, good quarterback. Got it.
I believe we didn't say good. We went middle of the road.
Okay. But better than
middle of the road has always been good enough for me, though. Okay. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. Truthfully.
I also think this is going to be a loss on the road. It's a tough spot. I don't know. Bears in primetime. Brendan, throw out some stats. What are the Bears in primetime? Go. No, just kidding. But you probably do know.
Well, they didn't score a touchdown last year in primetime against the Vikings.
Okay, so there's that. Good. So, yeah, I don't have high hopes. They're going to be on the road. And they're the talented receivers are you know, next-level blue-chip receivers. So I've got a loss.
I've got a loss as well. This kind of goes into the bucket of this is a winnable game, of course, but they come out with a loss in primetime. I also think this is definitely the time where that late season wall is going to hit for Caleb Williams facing the second team as well. This is their first second time going through a division opponent. So now he'll have to game plan for the same defense twice. That same defense will have tape on him. So I think it's going to be a lot harder for him to have success against that defense, even though they are decimated. I also want to take a moment to shout out Cam for playing the travel game. Cause I think I look at that quite a bit when it comes to like teams, where they're going, different parts of the country. So I appreciate that strategy from you.
Of course. I'm a frequent flyer enthusiast. And you know, it's funny listening to everyone here be like, oh, you know, this is a game the Bears always are about to win and then lose. And I feel like you guys are forgetting that it's a new era in Chicago. And that now the Bears aren't going to lose that game because they have a franchise quarterback in place. I'm disappointed that no one took this path. I think they're going to win. I think this is the game that the Bears would lose otherwise because Fields or Trubisky would throw a boneheaded play. And I think Caleb Williams is not going to make a boneheaded play and they're going to win. And everyone's going to go, oh, it's a new era in Chicago. And we can all come back to here. Everyone listening, if we're doing this podcast, you know, receipts, when it's a new era in Chicago on December 16th, remember this podcast.
You dubbed the term, the phrase.
I dubbed it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Cam. This is a win. I'm surprised there were so many losses picked for this game. But what I will say is that November and December is a gauntlet for the Bears. So I could see a world where this is a, they're tired. But what team isn't tired on December 16th? So let's get a Viking sweep this year.
I have the toughest stretch for the Bears. The Bears lose this one, which actually has me having the Bears at 7-7 at this point of the season. A lot of questions get asked. I think this is the point of the season, the podcast, where Jack and Shells will be screaming at each other, profanity laced. And while Brendan and I just kind of sit like, oh no, they're fighting again. What do we do? You know, just,
oh no,
just
wondering. They're fighting again. What do we do?
Yeah. Cause this is going to be the game where they're down 6. It's like 4th and 12 from the 40 with 8 seconds left, and Flus kicks a field goal and then goes for an onside kick, and we're all going to go, what?
I have a feeling that this is going to be the time of the season where we're going to ask a lot of questions about Matt Eberflus, and it's not going to be a fun time to be a Bears fan. That's where we're at. Then, boys, from this point, here we go. The Lions come to town. So that is a noon game, December 22nd. What do we got?
They're going to fire Eberflus midseason. Shane Waldron's going to take, no, I'm just kidding. I think they're going to surprise. I think they're going to beat the Lions at home. I think, I had them going through a little bit of a tough stretch prior to that. If you're keeping score at home, which I'm sure you are, I'm sure you've been waiting with bated breath for my picks all week. But I had them losing their last three games and I think they're going to get off the schneid and, they're going to beat the Lions at home.
Okay, so listen, I'm done with the Eberflus dragging Shells. I'm not going to stand for another moment of it. And the Bears are going to win at the Lions. You know why they're going to win? Because the strategy that Flutes puts in place is going to be the most brilliant, epic, strategic, like palace-level strategy. The Bears played the Lions pretty darn close last year, twice, and I think they're going to potentially win this game. Bears win. Beat the Lions week 16.
Jack, I respect your opinion, but I vehemently disagree with it. Thank you.
Well, that's not okay. You're just wrong and I'm right. Fine. And that's the way the world works. So
bye. Love you, Jack.
Yes. I love Kiss. You too.
Oh, wait, sorry. Either or.
Gonna kill him with kindness this season.
So I actually had the Bears losing this game until about 20 seconds ago when I remembered five, not because of anything you guys said.
Oh, yeah. You ran out of cotton candy.
Why would you influence me? I mean, no. I totally forgot the five best words in professional sports. Jared Goff in cold weather.
Ooh.
He stinks. And we saw it last year yet again when the Bears defense made him look like doo-doo. And I think the same thing's going to happen. This defense is too good. I also am concerned that the Lions are a little too top-heavy with their offense. They don't really have much depth behind Amon-Ra and Sam Laporta. I know they have a good running game, But I think this defense can get it done and make Jared Goff play football in cold weather.
Yeah, I actually am just entirely also persuaded by that one single argument. Like, I had him as a loss a minute ago, and now I do not – there's nothing I believe more in than not believing in Jared Goff in the cold weather. Like, I just believe it with all my heart and soul. So, yeah, give me a Bears win.
Yeah. How can I break that up? It's what, probably one of the Lions, like, two outdoor games or whatever this year, or cold weather games. Yeah, I think that we get one of the two against the Lions, and I think it's this one.
I'm a little bummed because I thought, like, I'm going to pick the Lions – or, sorry, pick the Bears to win in at least in my schedule here, snapping a three-game losing streak. And I'm like, oh, like, I'm going to – because I'm excited. I'm going to be unique, but clearly not unique in that. I'm picking a Bears dub at this point, and I'm really excited about this. I do think it's already been said that the Bears play the Lions well, and Jared Goff – stinky. So boys, then the Seahawks coming to town. It is a Thursday night football game, the day after Christmas, December 26th, 7:15 start. What do we got?
I got them winning here to get to 10 wins. I'll note that I didn't belabor the point on these picks. I kind of went with my gut. In years past, I've really kind of hemmed and hawed over it and dug deep in my analysis and have been so catastrophically wrong every year that I just kind of went with like my feel, and I just feel like they're going to beat the Seahawks. They're going to get to 10 wins this season.
Similarly, I have a dub, and that brings them to 10 wins. It's the Shane Waldron revenge game. So we'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. There's dub.
I too have a dub the day after Christmas. One of the best days, by the way. I love the day after Christmas.
What? Why? The worst day.
What? Are you...
The worst. It's the worst, Logan.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Days of Christmas is brutal.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah. Why is it brutal?
Because I personally, big Christmas guy, and it's like, I mean, there's many other reasons past just being sad that Christmas is over, but I don't know. Most of the time for me too, like, I'm a day closer to flying back to LA. Like, not that I don't like living here at times, but you know, I'm leaving my family, so.
Okay, that's fair. My thing is Christmas. Yeah, the Christmas day is awesome. I always take the day after Christmas off. I'm starting to take like the full 2 weeks off if I can, just because. And I just feel like that's a day to relax, kind of enjoy the things that you've gotten. Maybe still see some friends, some family, watch some football, watch some bowl games that are usually on no matter what. I don't know. I love like the week in between Christmas and New Year's is just amazing to me. It's my
the
one
bowl,
time.
The bowl games. That's a very good point. I always forget that there's a random bowl game to watch, and I do.
The playoffs will be on now at this point, right? Like, I think the playoffs. Are
yes, on. Yes. And you good can point. Eat pie for breakfast and not feel bad about it. Like, it's great.
So I have to share. You know, just not sweet potato.
No.
Nope.
I have to share one. Can I share one quick story? One quick story. So a player, a student athlete of mine at one point, after Christmas, he's coming back for workouts in the off season. He's super down. I'm like, hey, you know, what's wrong, Woj? And he's like, head down, super sad. He's like, the Christmas tree rub. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
And he's like, Christmas tree rub. What's the Christmas tree, Woj? Rub. And he goes, he had two big brothers. Woj is a big dude too. His two brothers were chasing down, rip his shirt off, and then rub him up and down the Christmas tree every year as a tradition. It was because
the Christmas tree rub. Yeah,
it's a great tradition.
That's incredible.
I could tell you a few people who deserve a nice Christmas tree rub.
Awesome, man. I never thought of that. Oh, man. That's good. I will convince everybody by the time the holidays come around that the day after Christmas is amazing. But going back, because I know Ryan's going to have an aneurysm if we keep doing this, they get a win against the Seahawks. And I'll give you a stat here. Geno Smith is 0-6 on Thursday Night Football. He, for some reason, does not like Thursdays. So I think the Bears get the win in primetime.
I think this is a loss. I think there's going to be such the emotional sort of hangover of the Lions win that I always thought was going to happen before. I will say this is the game that Caleb Williams sets the franchise single season passing yard. game. I think he hits it there, and no one even cares if they win or lose because he will have thrown for what 3,000 and some 1 yard or whatever it is. So shout out that.
I might cry, like full like man tears, just like
like they should definitely play like the Bear Down Chicago song, even if they lose, if he beats the record, right? Like they should just treat it like a win and
stop
like,
the game in the middle of it, like he's broken the all-time record.
Virginia's coming out to center field to the 50-yard line again with Brian Urlacher. They're gonna have a big old party about it.
Get to do the Go Bears.
I have a win. I don't have too much else to add.
Okay. I got a Bears dub for this one. That puts me 9-7. I got a feeling, boys, that this is the one that will essentially get the Bears a playoff spot, which is going to make everybody happy. Bears finish the season yet again at the Packers, January 5th. Time to be determined. More than likely, there may be playoff implications with this game. How's it going to go down, boys?
The Bears are going to be comfortably in the playoffs, but they're not going to be able to improve or lose any position. Their seed's locked in. The Packers, on the other hand, are playing to avoid a losing record. And so the Bears rest their starters. The Packers, because they need the game, they win at home, and the Bears finish 10-7. Again, we're deleting this if none of that comes true. But I think the main takeaway here is I had them losing at Green Bay.
I've never thought of you as a blind optimist, and this is so strange. I'm a little disorientated, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
I really am.
What's going on?
Yeah. Okay, so the Bears, unfortunately, are going to lose this game for many of the same reasons that I alluded to last time.
Bears lose. I still can't pick them until it happens.
Cowards, yeah. All he is.
Even though the Packers will be tanking for the first overall pick, I do think that the Bears will still find a way to lose.
Yeah, same reason as Brendan. I just earlier said that I won't do it until they do it. So it's a loss.
I got a bad Bears loss again, and people starting to question Eberflus and his ability to coach against Matt LaFleur. Unfortunately, that puts me to finish out the season 9-8, but that the Bears do sneak into the playoffs, which I'm very hopeful about. Brendan, you and Logan tie for the Bears at 11-6 at the highest, 11 wins. You still,
now that I'm hearing
Logan,
that out loud.
Do you really stand by that?
Any regrets?
So I did have 10-7, and then I changed it once again, Jared Goff, cold weather. So I could go back and change one of those dubs to an L, but screw it. We're having fun. I think the Bears do win double digit games no matter what. So I'm okay.
Yeah. That's no way to go through life taking wins back and giving them.
Yeah,
awesome.
No. I said what I said.
See, that's a good point.
Double-digit wins would be incredible this year, right?
So, Jack and Shells, you both have the Bears at 10-7 wins. Are you sticking by that? Anything you want to change?
No, just to tell Packers fans that they can SMDFB.
That's a lot of letters.
It is a lot of letters.
So, and then Cam.
You got it.
Camp,
FTB?
I got it.
Delta Bravo.
Yeah.
Cam and I have the Bears at 9-8. We are apparently the pessimists of the group, which I think stands probably for the most part, sort of. Cam,
well, I said it was a new era, so it counts more. I have more
that means more, man. Yeah. And he said Caleb Williams is going to break all the records and have impromptu ceremony. So where's your impromptu ceremony?
I
legitimately like this is it's hard for me to fathom because I've watched the Chicago Bears play football for over 20 years, like really, really fervently watched them and never had a 4,000 yard passer You know, Jay Cutler getting the closest to it and just limping his way across the finish line in which to do it. If it happens, I honestly don't know how I will process that. And it's kind of pathetic because it should have happened a really long time ago. Boys, I think this is important, that we hit this one. It's always important that we hit this one. Is there anything that we missed? Anything that needs to be talked about before we get to shout outs and we get out of here? This has been a fun episode, boys.
I just want to call attention to Jalen Johnson's quote. I know I sent it to you guys earlier in the week in the text thread, but like, man, what a great self-aware comment just about the state of the Bears and where they're at. And it was so refreshing to see. I think I tweeted out, like, you can call whoever you want a captain and put a C on their jerseys and all that, but it just feels like this is Jalen Johnson's team right now. He feels like the official and unofficial leader of this team. I thought those comments were great. They were honest. They were refreshing. They were transparent. They were just real. And I think that's kind of how I feel as a Bears fan, is I need to see it. Jack, we talked about good vibes, and I agree. There are a lot of good vibes, but we've also talked in the past that good vibes don't win football games. And so it'll be nice to see those translate to wins. But I just thought that quote jumped out at me and was refreshing to see.
I think in year three of a rebuild, more wins than losses will be a good year. It'll be a plus. I think I'd like to see competency from the OC. I'd like to see, for the first time in a long time, the Bears be able to, as we've talked about many times, put on a show on offense like we haven't seen before, and to be able to scheme and strategize in a way that shows that they are now, like we often say, at the big boy table. I would also like to put my money, I don't know what the odds are yet, but Flus will be coach of the year. And I'm out.
I think he has the best odds to win that.
So you can thank me when you win the money. Go ahead and lay it right now, Shells. See if you can get on DraftKings.
Brendan?
He's also, I think, the favorite to be fired, too. So double dip.
Go big or go home. That's what
good money. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. I did love Jalen Johnson's quote. I'm very appreciative of the process. I know Ryan Poles has talked about that a lot, but I think it speaks volumes that the Bears did not bring in a veteran quarterback, gave Caleb Williams the reins the entire time going back to April. And it has not even been a discussion that he's not the starter. There's no, well, he's got to get more reps at the ones. There's no chemistry here. No, that's all BS. He's been building with these guys for months now. You can see the growth. You can see the fact that they believe in him. They buy into him. I don't think it's all just, you know, just to say that, oh, he's a good player and he's going to get it. I genuinely believe that this locker room believes in him. And it's hilarious to think about where we were back in January with some people, not us, but some people saying the locker room will not be able to handle a new quarterback. And look how far we've come. So I'm very appreciative of that. And I just think this team, with how they're set up, with not only the moves, but the process that this front office has put together, they are built for success. And as we saw in Hard Knocks, this is the end of beginnings, and this should be the beginning of something good, even if it doesn't manifest itself fully this year. This is going to be the jumping off point. He's muted.
I don't know what games they're wearing the orange jerseys, but I know they're going to lose them. And so if we have to rematch the games that I picked to lose to overlap with the orange jersey ones, I can do that as extra credit. But that's how I feel about that.
They're wearing the all whites this year. I'm calling it. They're wearing the all whites this year. Watch.
Better than orange. Whatever. Literally anything else better than orange.
Cam, see, this is why you got hired by the Bear Down Chicago podcast, because you are a brilliant man. I hate
the color orange. Yes. And he says as all of our name tags are bright orange.
Logan, anything we missed?
Orange. I went to Illinois. No, I don't know exactly what you guys talked about because I jumped on late, but I will just say that the Hard Knocks series has definitely at least like made me like more confident in Ryan Poles, but just from someone who's never experienced like a franchise that for the most part, that has had like a competent GM. Ryan Poles, I think even before I saw Hard Knocks, I believed in him based on the moves that he's made, but also more of just like, you just get a vibe off of a guy, whether it's a head coach, a GM, from the few times you see him talk. And I just really, really believe in Ryan Poles. The way that he interacts with players is really cool to see, but just his process and everything. And like Brennan said, the way that he's built this team, I just can't say enough how much I believe in Ryan Poles and how much I really, really like him. And I just feel like this team buys into him. Not that they don't buy into Flus, Jack, don't worry. But I think that they really, really all buy into Ryan Poles. And I think that's something that we haven't seen in a long time. So I'm just very excited.
I'm so anxious for the season to start because there's so much talk and hype and all these different things. You know, the Jalen Johnson quote was awesome, but until the rubber meets the road, until we see W's, right, nothing really matters. And I hope that this team is as different as it feels. That's really what I'm hoping. I would like to see some wins, and I want to see trends that are broken. I don't want to watch really bad historically bad offense and decent defense. I'm so sick of watching that. I would like to watch an offense that at least is in the top 15. Like, I don't think that's asking too much, right? Just that in and of itself would be really, really, really nice. And I hope Caleb is. I hope he's half as good as advertised, because man, he sure seems like he's been everything that he's been hyped to be since his freshman year of college.
I know we've joked around about a lot tonight and everything. And I do think we all think that the Bears are going to be pretty good this year, but I'm genuinely curious quickly, what will make you panic and when will it make you panic? Like what's that thing that's going to make you hit the panic button? Like, this is not how it's supposed to be. Things have to change.
But for me, it's not even the team. It's Flus not improving as a head coach, because my biggest fear is another disconnect between head coach and quarterback. Like, this marriage has to work. For better or worse, Poles is stuck with Flus, and this marriage with Caleb has to work. And I'm terrified, because I don't believe, you guys know I don't believe in Flus. I'm terrified this isn't going to work. So that would be the panic button for me, is the moment I realize that Flus is not improved. His glow up is limited to his appearance only. Like, right, we got a lot of good vibes. Haircuts and beards don't win games either. Like, he's undergone a renaissance in the offseason, but man's got to coach better. That's the bottom line. And so if it comes to a point in the season where I feel like he's not improving as a head coach and he's still making the same dumb mistakes, and his team, which is eminently more talented than it was last year, is still blowing leads, that's the panic button for me, because it means that we're in a situation where the quarterback may not align to the head coach again.
I would say, and Ryan and I talked a little bit about it today, if there's a continuation of the late losses, I would be concerned about that, because I have been so adamant about putting that on the entire team and not just on Flus. I don't think there's going to be the late losses, because I think with guys like Sweat and Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, you now have an edge to win, and you have the talent to win at the end of the games. You have an offense that could close games. So I would be really surprised, shocked, disappointed, eat my words, if there's more late losses. I would be pretty down if Swift doesn't turn out to be the type of number one running back that we hope he will be, because, you know, I think in this offense this year, we've got to predicate on the run to start. So if we're not able to run block, if we can't seem to run the ball, big problem. Last thing, if we don't see Caleb somehow not processing, not reading, that would just gut me, because then it's like, oh crap. Like, did we do it again? I would be super surprised. He seems to have all the skills to be able to not only play the position athletically, but also mentally. So I'd be shocked. But so those would be, like, if there's any like combination of those things, I would be jumping off bridges and yelling at Patrick, and it would be ugly.
Mine quickly would just be getting blown out week one. I mean, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. Like, just, we went through this last year. You think that you learned. And while it is all about Caleb, it's also about the rest of the team. And this team is built to win, and it's deep, and it's they're connected. There's chemistry there. They cannot go into another game like we saw last week one, where they're just getting decimated by a team that at this time last year we all thought was inferior, and nobody knew what to do with themselves. Sheldon was calling them the worst team in the NFL. I had a bag over my head. We were all just like besides ourselves. So if that happens, even if Caleb is kind of like, you know, has a good game, bad game, if they're blown out like 41-10, that's a panic button move.
I hope this kind of answers the question. I will panic faster about Romo Odunze than I will Caleb Williams, because like the odds of a top 10 wide receiver hitting are like almost equal to the odds of a first overall pick hitting, which is crazy. And like if Caleb Williams is going to have 2 years of patience regardless of what happens. Like first round receivers don't really get that luxury that quarterbacks do. So if Romo Odunze isn't good, the ripple effects on the offense, I think, are way bigger than anyone would necessarily think right now. And I think that that changes the entire trajectory if they don't have a wide receiver one at wide receiver three.
Yeah. For me, it's just if there's not in any way, if Caleb Williams after a few games looks vanilla, or if there's some obvious disconnect between what he, you know, what Shane Waldron wants to do and what Caleb Williams is good at, I think that's when I'd panic. I don't anticipate it, fingers crossed, but that would be it for me.
Slow starts. If Flus does it again and the Bears start 0-4 or 1-5 or something along those lines, this is too talented of a team to do that, and to try the back end of their schedule is just brutal, man. It's absolutely brutal. And so that would be a tough one. Boys, this has been a fantastic episode, and I have absolutely loved having all of the members of the Bear Down Chicago podcast on. For all of you audio only listeners, that means we've got Patrick Sheldon, we've got Jack Wright, we've got Brendan Sugar, we've got Cam Ellis, and we have Logan Bradley. He still exists and his mustache is still sexy as hell. Boys, it is time to get to shout outs. I mean this nicely because I know shout outs are an important thing that we do on this podcast, but please hurry up.
Yeah, I'll be real quick. My shout out goes to somebody who I'm almost certain isn't on Twitter, but I just had a great interaction this weekend. Took my son to do some batting practice over at the field, and this gentleman was walking by and stopped and just started chatting us up. It turns out his son is actually in the analytics department with the Yankees. We talked baseball for a while. Just a really nice guy. It was awesome to chat. You could tell he loved the game, and he was so kind. He actually had me send him some videos of my son's swing and send them to his son, who kind of ran him through the analytics software with the Yankees and all that stuff, and gave him like a report. And it was just the coolest moment for my son. He's been kind of walking around on cloud nine since it happened. And it was just an awesome experience for him. And he didn't have to do that. He was a complete stranger. It was just awesome to see. There are still some good people in the world, and it was nice to have a positive interaction with a complete stranger.
Hey, shout out to all you guys. You know, you kept your heads on a swivel. And that's what you got to do when you find yourself in a vicious cockfight. So I'm really impressed with all of you. I'll change it up when the season starts, I promise. But shout out to my daughter, Peyton, who's playing on the varsity tennis team. So far, she's just had a really great season with her partner, Taylor. And they're winning their singles matches and they're winning their doubles matches. Shout out to Connor, who we almost lost a couple weeks ago, to be honest. And so love you, Connor.
Damn.
Sorry.
I don't know how to apologize. That. No. Thank you.
You don't need to apologize, Jack.
Yeah. My shout outs quickly go to our guy Bruja. He's been here the whole time, shouting out in the chat, giving his predictions along with us. You are awesome, dude. He has a quick comment. There are 4 or 5 other live podcasts currently going on tonight that he usually takes part in the chat, but he's here. And that means a lot, man. So thank you. You're a great dude to follow, and we appreciate it. Shout out to some new Bears Wires guys, Mike Pendleton, who just came on, as well as to our contributors, Vinny, Lucas, and of course, Alyssa. Just want to shout them out for the great work that they do as the season gets started. Quick shout out to Danny Rocket, great Cubs fan. Unfortunately, he lost his mom, a week or so ago. Just really awesome lady, had a chance to meet her last year. So thinking of you, Danny. And then last thing, shout out to my coworker, Kevin. He I went into his office. He had a autographed football signed by Otis Wilson, Steve McMichael, and maybe Kevin White. I don't know. But he, I said, I was like, oh, that's really cool. And I was like, that's really special that you got that. I came up to my desk yesterday, Tuesday, and it was there. And he gifted it to me because he loved how much I loved it. So that was so nice of him. I definitely owe him a beer or a round of golf. So that was really cool for my coworker, Kevin.
Yeah, shout out to Brendan's coworker Kevin. That was what I was going to say too.
Damn,
Brendan's stealing everything tonight. Like, I assume people listening to this podcast probably saw that NBC Sports Chicago shut down or changed. I guess I don't know this week, and it was the whole reason that got me to Chicago in the first place. They gave me my first like real salaried health insurance job in Chicago. And it was just like the coolest experience in the world. So shout out to anyone who worked there or made it what it was, or anyone that followed along or interacted with it. Like it was a really cool experience to be part of it. And I'm proud to say I was part of it. So shout out to NBC Sports Chicago.
Shout out to Ian Wheeler. Everybody saw obviously that gut-wrenching moment on Hard Knocks when it was that moment when he met with his mom after the game. And just as somebody who was like an athlete that went through injuries at times, I remember those moments of either like calling my mom or like, you know, being in a similar situation or meeting up with my mom or my dad, and that hug of them being there in that moment. And obviously what he was going through, I like can't even fathom that sucks so much, but just to have that moment and to like have your parent there supporting you and giving you that hug. And like, I was crying, and that also makes me think of you, Jack, and I love you, and you know, wishing you all the best and giving you strength. But just parents, I think parents in general, because at the toughest moment, that's who I will always rely on. And that made me tear up. So thoughts to Ian Wheeler and everybody going through anything tough.
Man, some real, real shout outs. You know, I was also going to give one to Jack at fear of making you get real emotional tonight, dude. You're a phenomenal father. This is before you were going to say any of this stuff. I was planning on doing it. And it just, we get a chance to talk about being a dad. And Jack is a guy that I look up to when it comes to being a dad. His kids mean everything to him, and it makes every decision that he does. And so, J-Dubs, much love to you, buddy. Rob Schwarz Jr., he does Bears Goggles On. He's so good. He interacts with our podcast all the time. He's just a good dude. And so just shout out to you, Rob. Thank you for all the phenomenal positive interactions. Coach Ryan McHugh, I got a chance to see his Hinsdale Central Red Devils play football. They lost, but it was still a fun game. And it was cool to hear the parents in the stands talk about how awesome of a guy he is and how much his players love him. And I know that speaks volumes about a coach. And so that is awesome to do a shout out to him. Heidi had a birthday, everybody. Heidi, woo! Happy birthday. And so Heidi, we absolutely love you. And seriously, all of us, the Bear Down Chicago podcast, cannot say how much we appreciate you so, so very much. And the last one goes to Jorge Gagiola. He's been hanging out with us. He hosts his own podcast, but he comes to hang out with us. And I know that he came on this podcast and he's talked a little bit about like, oh man, I'm not sure that my English is going to be great. It is going to work enough. And I was like, oh my God, your English is better than mine. It's better than just about anyone I know. And so, dude, I don't know what you're worried about. And he's a phenomenal diehard Bears fan. And now we're playing fantasy football against each other. So we'll see how that goes. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, we know, and right, and Brujas said it, right, that there are all these other podcasts going on tonight, and you have chosen to hang out with us, and we cannot tell you how much we appreciate it. I sit here and in awe of the amazingly talented dudes that are a part of this podcast, and I just, you know, Cam being our latest addition just fits in so damn well and makes us laugh so much, and that's what we want to do all season long. The hosts are going to rotate in and out for our post-game episode, which will usually drop on Sunday night at about 7:30 Chicago time. Sorry, 7:30 Chicago time. So please come and hang out. If you want to listen to audio only, awesome. Want to check us out on YouTube, you can do us a huge favor. Find a friend. Tell them about the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Hit us with a 5-star review. You really, really want to. You can shoot us an email. You can find us on Twitter, whatever it is, at Bear Down Chi Pod. We are so thankful for all of you, for all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast. That's Patrick Sheldon, Jack Wright, Logan Bradley, Cam Ellis, Brendan Chagrou. I am Ryan Dangle, folks. Thank you so very much. And as always, folks, bear down, Chicago.